This is the final part of chapter 5. You see, we had the healing of the crippled man at the pool, and then the finding out that it's Jesus, and the confrontation with Jesus. And then we looked at that yesterday. And here, you see, it comes down to what? Are you ready to believe God? Are you ready to accept His word? If your heart is soft, if you're willing, then when He speaks, you'll know it's God. But if you've got a bunch of projects of your own and you're trying to plug God in to foster your projects, you see, well, you're not going to hear Him. And Paul says that, if you remember. It's in 1 Corinthians 3. Let every man take care of how he built. I built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're going to start building your building on that, and it's going to be wood and straw, when the fire comes, it's going to go. In other words, you got the idea. You have to build on me. But you don't have the idea that you follow my directions when you build. This isn't your building. It's mine. And so that's what he's saying here about this. The other text is the mystery of intercession. Everybody who intercedes, a Hindu mother today praying to God as she understands Him, everyone, you see, is praying in the power of Christ. It's Christ in everybody interceding. And those of us who have been so blessed to know Him, to hear His word every day, to feed on His body and blood, you see, He wants our hearts to be conformed, to have His preoccupations, our preoccupations. So that when we pray, you see, it's the prayer of Christ. You know, it says in Romans 8 that we don't know how to pray. Everybody knows that. As we ought. But the Spirit comes to our aid and prays in us, you see, with unutterable groanings. Now, a few verses later, it says, you know, who can condemn us, you see? Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of the God, interceding for us. So what the Spirit does, you see, is take the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ there before the Father and puts it in our heart so that the prayer of Christ is still going up from earth to the Father. That's the prayer. Well, you say, I don't know how to do that. You don't. But if you pray and beg and listen, you see, and pray, as I say, this Hindu woman praying for her baby, she's praying to, she doesn't know. But in the depth, you see, there is that prayer of Christ. And that's what we see already anticipated in this prayer of Moses. Just sometime, read it slowly and see if the Lord doesn't open up for you the depth of the intimacy between Moses and God in this prayer. You know, I told you that Benedict Rochelle went to he had a bunch of friends, all Jewish, who were atheists. And then one of them died, and so they met, and they were reading poetry. I don't know what they were doing. Finally, they had to go to the graveyard. And Benedict said to himself, well, he can't bury the man without any. I don't know if he really did this, but he says, so I raised my hands and I said, to whom it may concern. You see, he wanted to get them to do something. Every prayer that goes from this word comes you see, from Christ, the Lord Christ. Moses' prayer is an anticipated realization of that. And that's why God heard him. He knew how to pray. You see? Why should your wrath blaze up against your own people, whom you brought out from the land of Egypt with such great power and strong hand? Why should the Egyptians say, he brought them out just to kill them? Think, Lord, of your reputation. You see, he knows how to pray. And finally, you see, and then remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember the saints, Lord. Don't look at us. Look at those who loved you heroically, poured out their life for you, and have mercy on us. Have mercy on this poor country. Pray. You see? It's all the work of Christ in us. And we let the Holy Spirit form us. We've got to have a heart for prayer and for intercession. It's very important. And so, you see, remember your saints, Lord. You know, I got 3 minutes left. There's a great, I've quoted him before, Rashi, great Jewish commentator of the early Middle Ages, 11th, 12th century. And in this whole thing, it may come still, I doubt it, during Lent, but it'll come if you go read it. Exodus 32, 33, 34 in there. You see where Rashi says that Adonai said to Moshe, your people may become so bad that even the merits of the patriarchs won't be enough. So I'll give you a prayer. God gives us the prayer. You see? And when you recite this prayer, you see, I will always listen. And what is that prayer? Adonai, Adonai. You know, the Lord, rich in mercy, abounding, you see? That's the prayer. That, do you see what, how much God wants us to really pray? To really intercede? He teaches us what to say. You say those words, I can't resist them. Do you see what I'm trying to say? God wants prayer from us. We're in a mess. The world is in a mess. One of the biggest messes it's ever been in. There's been wars before, of course, and massacres and pillage and rape and destruction, but never the potential that it be on the whole globe at the same time. This is a triumph of Satan's scheming. It began in the 14th century when the leader of the world, the European group, Christians, you see, turned. And that's been a triumph. And now, if we don't pray, as the Mother of God keeps telling us to pray, you see? Take the prayer of Christ, put it into your heart, let the Holy Spirit put it there. Feel something of the Lord's suffering for us, even now. The mystics who see visions of Our Lady, and she's crying, crying. She's in heaven, seeing God. Never going to lose beatitude for eternity. What's she crying about? Us. And the need for intercession. Let the Lord Christ pray in you powerfully. Give him complete liberty. Take over. Pray. Move. Holy Spirit, for heaven's sake, teach me how to pray. That's the only force that can stop Satan's plan to have the whole world erupt in hatred and murder and destruction, all at the same time. These poor fellows, they think they're building a world government. They're building an organized instrument of self-destruction.